Okay, so as we began exploring our theme for the year, Greater Things, 6 weeks ago, we started with this verse, which we'll read again in a second. But for 6 weeks, 6 long weeks, I know you're thinking, 6 weeks, we've been right here in this verse, finding out all kinds of things that are helping us, right? Helping us move into the greater things that our Lord is expecting of each of us this year. Not really just this calendar year, but really for all the rest of our lives. And I promise you, after today, we're going to move on to other things. We're going to move on to other things. In fact, next Sunday, we're having Stan Helton in to talk to us about how the Bible came to us. And that's going to be awesome. I hope you'll spend the whole weekend with us. It's going to be great. Then the Sunday after next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we have our great, we call it the end of the year video, even though it's March. But anyway, we'll review last year's in pictures and video 2 weeks from today. So that's always great. And no sermon, so it's great. So look forward to that. Great things are coming. Greater things are coming. If you can just hang on for one more week. Okay, so here we are. I'm telling you the truth, Jesus said. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name. So that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Just to quickly review and get us all caught back up. Greater things will be done by those who believe in Jesus. But it's not just a belief that's surface level. Not a belief like James talks about here. Do you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too. And it terrifies them. None of us believe like the demons, right? No, of course not. We believe more than that. The belief that Jesus is talking about here, the belief that is the foundation for the greater things that he expects from us, is a belief that brings about a changed life. And maybe some of you are thinking, and I include myself, well, I don't need to change my life. I grew up in the church. Oh, really? Well, I hope that's true for you. But maybe remember that while Jesus was here on this earth doing his ministry, the harshest criticisms that he had weren't for the sinners of his day, but for the religious people, the people who grew up, if you will, in the church, the temple, the synagogues, the people who didn't think they needed to change. So there's that. And then over the last 6 weeks, we've talked about the why or the purpose for greater things, which is God's glory, not ours. We talked about the how of greater things, and that's prayer, right? And that's kind of where we've been camped out for a while, because there's a lot to figure out there, about prayer, the kind of prayer that is answered that he talks about here. It's believing prayer. It's persistent prayer. It's prayer without doubt. And it's prayer within the will of God. And we spent some time last week, if you remember, looking at and thinking about and wondering in awe, really, about Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah, who prayed with belief, who prayed without doubt, who prayed persistently for something which was clearly and obviously and even explicitly within the will of God. Yet even then, Elijah prayed on his knees. Y'all remember that? He prayed on his knees. What does Jesus say here? He says, if you will ask for anything in my name. If you ask me for anything in my name. He said it twice there. What do you think that means? Ask. What do you think asking looks like? Well, I know we remember this verse. So let us step boldly to the throne of grace where we can find mercy and grace to help when we need it most. Boldly, it says. And y'all remember this verse too. We live in the bold confidence that God hears our voices when we ask for things that fit in His plan. And if we have no doubt that He hears our voices, we can be assured that He moves in response to our call. There's the principle. We can pray boldly, confidently, even expectantly. But this word that's translated as ask in the verse there, asking, it actually implies pleading with intensity. Pleading with intensity. Are we shocked? Are we surprised? Are we maybe even freaked out a little bit when we see somebody pleading with intensity? Does that freak us out a little bit? Are we like, dude, where's your pride? Where's your dignity? Or do we think, wow, I wish I could pray like that? If our prayers are not being answered, maybe we aren't really asking. Oh, sure, we're talking. The words are coming out of our mouths. But are we really asking? Are we really pleading with intensity? Maybe God, if our prayers are not being answered, maybe God is listening to our emotionless words. Maybe He's watching our entitled postures. Maybe He's thinking, you know, I can't tell if He really wants what He's asking for all that much. I can't tell that she really means it. I can't really tell that it really means all that much to her. Maybe why don't y'all come back when you're more sincere, when you're more desperate? When you really mean it. Okay, well, that got a little dark. So let's wrap up our review of last week by going back to where we ended last week's lesson. Okay, yeah, belief is a major part of whether our prayers for greater things are going to be answered. But here's the best part. Jesus believes in us. Remember? Jesus said it right here. They will do greater things than I am. They will do greater things. He says it. Jesus said, we believers will do greater things. We will. He knows it. He knows it's going to happen. He has faith in us. He believes in us. And as hard as all of this seems to be for us to grasp and to put into practice, Jesus himself is convinced not only that we can do it, but that we will do it. I hope maybe you've spent some time this past week just kind of letting that truth pour over your spirit. Because I'm not sure there's a better cure for fear or discouragement or anxiety than knowing that someone believes in you. And the fact that it is Jesus who believes in you, man, that just makes it all that much better, doesn't it? Okay, so now we're all pretty much caught up. Pretty much caught up. So now we have a pretty good picture of what it takes to get our prayers answered. Amen? Prayers for what we need or want or desire from God, and prayer for what he desires from us, like greater things. But it is us that we're talking about here, you know, us, people with poor memories, people who, like James says here, those who hear God's teaching and do nothing are like people who look at themselves in a mirror. They see their faces and then go away and quickly forget what they look like. That's us, isn't it? We forget so easily. You know what people like us would really like to have, even more than a picture of what prayer looks like? A list. We would like to have a list, wouldn't we? Lists are awesome. They're great, aren't they? We can carry them around in our pockets. We can pull them out and refer to them. We can check things off as we get them done. Lists are awesome. And then we'll know when we finished, when we've done everything that we're supposed to do, and we won't have to wonder, did I finish everything on the list? Did I miss something? Is that why my prayers are not being answered? Well, you can thank me. Happy day. I have found the list for us. I found it. And even better, this list was written by the Apostle John, the same guy who wrote about us doing greater things. So we can trust him, right? We can trust that he knows what he's talking about. Okay? If you're taking notes, here it is. Get ready for the list. Here it is. We receive from him, that's prayer, right? We receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And you're thinking, is that the great list you're talking about? That's still kind of vague. I know, but John doesn't leave us dangling here. Hang on. Let's look at it a little bit more. He adds a little bit more here. And this is what God says we must do. Colon. Okay? This is what. We're getting ready to have the list here. If you're taking notes, really, now, here we go. Here comes a list. This is what God says we must do. Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Got it. Believe. There it is again. Believe. What else? There's more. And love one another. Okay. Believe and love. Got it. What else? Well, that's it. That's the list. That's it. That's it. Believe and love. That's this great list that you got us all excited about. This list that we could check off and know that we've held up our end of the bargain. And now it's up to God to hold up his end and grant my prayers. Believe in love. How's that supposed to work as a checklist? How are we supposed to know when we believed enough and loved enough to push God into the position where he's legally and contractually obligated to answer our prayers? Yeah, this list, that doesn't really solve anything, does it? Come to think of it, the truth is, when it comes to following Jesus, lists just don't work. They just don't work. Maybe the point of prayer is less about a checklist, less about trying to maneuver God into a place where he has got to do what we ask, and more about trying to get our will and our wants and our life to line up with his will. And then maybe the more we live out this list, which, by the way, and I'm sure you've noticed, this list here, believe and love, it sure sounds a whole lot like and looks a whole lot like those first two commandments. Remember the first two commandments? The ones that we here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ are trying so hard to get right. You know, remember those first two commandments? Does anyone remember? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love one another. Love your neighbor. Good. Good. We're working on those two, right? We're working on those two. This list sounds a whole lot like that, doesn't it? Well, maybe the more we get that right, the more we'll find our prayers falling in line with his will and thus getting answered. You want to see your prayers answered? Look what the ancient writer of Psalms said. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's because the desires of your heart are to delight in the Lord. Okay. But have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered why we should even have to pray for something that is in the will of God? I mean, that doesn't seem to make any sense. I mean, take greater things, for instance. The greater things are clearly and obviously and plainly written. There it is, as being God's will for us who believe. Greater things are clearly expected from us. Jesus even clearly believes in us that we will do greater things. Why should we have to ask, plead intensely for God to do what he clearly wants to do? Well, I'm going to guess. Okay, so this is just my opinion. You don't have to believe it. You can find another reason if you want to. But my guess is that at least in some ways, prayer is about us. It's for our benefit. I think God wants to answer our prayers, but he wants us to recognize it when he does. He wants us to recognize that what has happened is exactly that, God answering prayer. It's not a coincidence. It's not a, wow, wasn't that lucky? No, it's the creator of the entire universe answering the prayer of somebody like me. Somebody like you. Because we pray believing, sure, but perhaps struggling. Kind of like that guy who said to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." Has that ever been you, by the way, in your prayer life? Anyway, when we pray with struggling faith, and then God answers our prayer, that's a faith-growing moment. Amen? We pray not so much to change God, but to change us. To get our will changed. Here's a prayer quote that I love from one of the great prayers of all time. Listen to this. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness. By George Mueller. If you haven't read the story of George Mueller, go look that up this afternoon. Go do yourself a favor and look up George Mueller this afternoon. Read his story about prayer. His life of prayer. It's amazing. Do yourself a favor. Okay, we've been talking about prayer in pretty broad terms, I know, for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks now. But let's try to be thinking about prayer in reference to greater things. Our theme for the year. Greater things for you in 2024. Greater things for me in 2024. Greater things for the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ in 2024. Where does he want you to be directing your focus, to be directing your energy to achieve greater things this year than you have in the past? What will greater things look like in your life? Well, it's probably going to be different in each of us. Okay? It's probably going to be different in each one of us. We all have different gifts. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. We're all in different places on our journey. But despite all of that, at least one thing is going to be the same for all of us. Greater things are going to happen. And it's really simple. It's really simple. But before we get there, I got to tell you something. Something I'm sure some of you probably already noticed. I've been exercising this year. I've been working out, getting in shape. Can't you tell? Why are you laughing? It's embarrassing. Well, actually, let me rephrase. I haven't really been exercising. I don't really like to sweat. So, but I've been reading a lot about exercise. There was a great section in the latest, most recent AARP magazine about exercising. Did anybody read that? Just me? Y'all don't get that magazine? I've been reading about exercising. I've been watching some videos about exercise. I've been thinking about it a lot. I might have even been praying about it. How's that working out for me? Y'all, it's obvious. And it's simple. I've got to change my approach to exercise if I expect to experience anything different in my health, in my strength, in my endurance. Something's got to change if I'm going to experience greater things that exercise can bring. Okay. Y'all, it's really simple. And yet it is really hard. Change is hard. But here's the truth. No one achieves greater things in any part of life without changing. Greater things, by its very definition, cannot be achieved unless we change and do something different. If we don't do something different, we just keep on doing the same thing and not greater things. What change is the Lord calling on you, calling on me, calling on us as a church to make so that greater things can happen this year? What comfort zones does He want you to step out of this year? It's the one thing we know for sure. If we're going to do greater things individually, as a congregation, we cannot keep on doing the same things. Amen? Amen? It's really simple. It's really hard. What's He calling on you to do? What's He calling on me to do? To change. To do greater things. I'm glad we have a church like Mark prayed about this morning, where we love each other enough that we can actually help each other with this. We can encourage each other with this. Aren't you glad that you're a part of this church where that can happen? Where greater things are going to happen. Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.